This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Cause I'm a fool for your love. Got me feeling so damn crazy. Cause I'm a fool for your love, baby.
Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy Jedi Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start, first and foremost, by thanking you for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Started this episode with a song from an album I just recently discovered. It's the name of the band or group or whatever, the Cartoons with two R's. Song is called Fool for Your Love, and it's from an album called Saturday Night. I'm becoming a big fan of them. I think I discovered them during the whole like TikTok wave. They had a viral clip out there for another song that they have. I think it's called On My Way, which is crazy. It's straight instrumental, but it's crazy. I love drums or whatever, so you know anybody who goes crazy on the drums is going to get a thumbs up for me. But yeah, check that album out if you get a chance. I think it's dope, and that song is very representative of what the album sounds like, and also ties into the theme of today's episode, but we'll get to that later. We got to do what we always do first, which is the Chef Elise Report.
Out of Pepe!
You know I am. This Chef Elise Report is going to be mostly about the bullshit I go through as a soccer dad. So this weekend, Chef Elise had a back-to-back. She had games on Saturday and Sunday. And when I saw that on the schedule, immediately perturbed. Because, you know, as much as I love my daughter, and I love being a supportive dad, the thought of being out there watching those little kids play their brand of soccer 2 days in a row, very off-putting. And then I think the Sunday game was at like 3:30. That's like right in the middle of the games. It's just, you know, I'm a fantasy football guy. I was a little pissed off. And then on top of all that, on top of the fact that it was a back-to-back, the first game on Saturday was at 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning. I worked all week and now I have to get up super early because I had to be there at 7:30, you know, to greet them, you know, make sure she was there. I had her jersey, which I forgot to hand off from the last game. So I had to meet them there early, make sure she got her jersey and could play that day. So yeah, I had to get up mad early and meet them out there. And when I saw them arrive at the field, you know, realized, which I already knew, that, you know, Elise is very much like her dad. And that means she is not a morning person at all. Not in any stretch of the imagination. Like, she hates mornings as much as I did. Or do. And so she was as unhappy to be here there as I was, but you know, we were gonna see it through. So it was it wasn't cold, but it was cold enough. She was just pissed off. I guess she was pissed off because she had to get up early. She was pissed off because she didn't have her puffy coat that she wanted to wear. She was pissed off because it was cold. It was just not a good morning. From like the moment I saw her, it looked like she was almost in tears, and you know how when you just show up someplace and you just know it's not about to be a good time? That's basically what happened. See, it was cold. She wasn't happy about that. She was about to cry before the game started because she just didn't want to be cold. Trying to convince her that if you move around, you'll be all right. But that wasn't working. once the game started, we were playing one of the better teams in her league, and her team was holding their own. So it was a competitive game, but it was a defensive struggle. You know, nobody scored for the vast majority of the game. The thing that was really pissing me off was the referee. And I think a couple seasons ago, we had Tiny Ref. And Tiny Ref, you know, is the homie. Like, I fucks with Tiny Ref. Kind of miss Tiny Ref. I wonder if he had a growth spurt and if he looks his age at this point. But Tiny Ref isn't there anymore. This time, we had a girl referee. And I'll get the good points of this referee out the way first. She was calling everything. Like, she was very technical by the book. And then, you know, if their feet were on the line during the throw-in or whatever, got to do it over again, turnover, whatever. I don't know the jargon. I don't play the game. I don't understand it. It's whatever. But, yeah, she was very, on point in terms of following the rules and calling everything. And then she was taking the extra step of, like, explaining to the girls what they had done, how they had fucked up, you know, when she made the call. She was pointing people out. Like, she was literally stopped the game and be like, number 20, I need to see you over here. And she would walk the little kid over there and explain to him what they did wrong and why, you know, it was a penalty or a flag or whatever. Again, I don't know the jargon. And it was 8:00 in the morning. So that's the good part about the ref. I appreciate that. Bad part about the ref, well, she wasn't organized at all. The game started late. If you ask me to get up on Sunday morning and be somewhere at 8:00, the game need to start at 8:00 because I'm trying to go home by 9:00. Game didn't start at 8:00, so whatever. That, you know, first flag on the play for the ref. Then when halftime hit, like, we all waiting for the ref to come back to start the game. The team's out there on the field, and I don't know where the fuck she went off to, but she was someplace, and then she was just like slowly sauntering her way, you know, back over to the field. And we all waiting to start this game. It's halftime. We thinking we halfway there, and now we gotta wait for you to walk all the way from wherever it is you went to for whatever reason you went all the way over there for. But yeah, it was very lackadaisical and fucking irritating. Her team lost 1-0. I think that's the proper soccer jargon. I don't know. Somebody will tell me. But what happened that was interesting was, like I mentioned last week, Elise is up when the team is winning. She's a great teammate when the team is winning. When the team is not winning, not so much. And at some point, 4-1 goal, she was on the field. She was on defense. Somebody got by her, and they scored a goal. And just that quickly, she went from, I ain't want to be here in the first place, to she literally, like, had a breakdown on the field. She was crying on the field. They had to sub her out because she was crying. And I go over to the sideline, and I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with my little girl. And, you know, she's doing her nonverbal thing, which really concerns me, and she doesn't want to talk about it. And then after the game, she eventually told her mom that what she was upset about was that she didn't think she was good enough to support her team. And I was like, heartbreaking. I wanted to laugh, but at the same time, I felt bad for my little girl. I wanted to be like, I shouldn't say it now, but I'm going to say it. You're not. If we just being honest about the situation, you know, once again, if we had to choose, if we was ranking the players on her team by soccer ability, if she's not at the bottom, she's pretty close to it, you know. But that's a her thing, you know. I don't think she, outside of having to practice at the mandatory practices and showing up for the game, she doesn't do anything soccer related outside of that. And that's, you know, you can put that on her mom and I. But she's got a goal and stuff at home, and she doesn't, you know, she's not, I think she's so used to, when it comes to school, being naturally good at that, that she doesn't quite grasp the concept of, in order to be good at something, you have to work at it. You have to put some work in. You have to, even when you aren't required to put the work in, if you desire to be good at this thing, you got to express that by, you know, putting some time into it. which she doesn't. But anyway, that was game one. And we, you know, we finished the game. We went and had breakfast. You know, she got some pep talks. You know, by the time we finished having breakfast, she was A-OK, back to her normal self. Cool beans. So then game two was Sunday. Again, I mean, you know, I got to cut my early morning games short to get ready to make it out to the field by 3:30. I get there, and the first thing I noticed is, and I was trying my hardest not to laugh. I don't think I laughed, but I was laughing inside. But my little girl showed up to the field looking like Method Man from the All I Need video. Like, she had half her braids in, half her braids out. It's fucking hilarious to me. I don't think anybody else got the reference when I tried to make the joke, but I thought it was funny. It made my day. It turns out, I think her mom had talked to her about needing to take her braids out because, you know, she has a hair appointment. I got a hair appointment set up for her next week. And it became such an issue that that's the only progress they could make. And so she had to show up to the game, like I said, looking like Takao, but it's all good. We got a hair appointment booked for next week, so we'll get that taken care of. But they lost again today, 1-0. But she was in much better spirits. Like, she played and she participated and she was, you know, engaged and aggressive. And she tried to make some plays. And that was dope. You know, hopefully this is like the turning point for her where she realizes, if I want to be good at this, because she keeps expressing interest in continuing to play soccer. And like I say, it's getting to the point where it's getting competitive. We're keeping score now. There's a winner or a loser. You know, other parents can kind of see, you know, I'm tired of being a dad on the sideline. Like, hey, watch your mouth. Like, you know what I'm saying? I haven't gone that far yet, but we're going to reach that point. People have complained about her on the sideline. It's just been, it's been tame enough that it not become a problem. But at some point, you know, you all seen parents in the stands. I'm not trying to be bad dad or whatever, or Stan's dad from South Park, but it could happen. I'm sober though, so I don't know how all that's gonna work out, but I can anticipate that happening if something doesn't change, and hopefully this is a turning point. But yeah, I think, you know, Elise learned a very good lesson this weekend about, you know, commitment and dedication. And, you know, how being committed to something or dedicated to something sometimes means hanging in there and rocking with the team, even when the team isn't doing well and things aren't going your way. And that's the Chef Elise report for this week.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am, and proud to be. But all of that ties directly into today's topic and the song, Fool for Your Love. So anyway, as you all may or may not know, I am in a new relationship. And, you know, it's an event. It's something I talk about on the show quite often because this, first of all, this is a personal journal. The show is about my life. Sometimes I sit and think, like, I want to talk about what's going on with my relationship, but I know these people tired of hearing about it. And I really got to just be like, hey, you know, fuck what y'all tired of hearing. You know, this is what's going on with me, so this is what we're talking about. But, yeah, I'm in this new relationship, and very much in love. I think the both of us are very much in love.
You can love me or hate me, eat out all.
And yeah, so I threw myself off with the sound clip. I really did. Anyway, but you know, wifey and I, that's what I'm gonna call her now. I get in trouble with some of the other terminology, but I'm gonna call her wifey today. We was having a conversation, and she brought up the Will and Jada situation. And y'all know I tend to kind of shy away from these current events, celebrity type issues, not really my thing. But, you know, she wanted to hear my thoughts on it and, you know, how it ties in to commitment and vows and marriage and all that good stuff. And specifically, I think the question for her was, can you take commitment too far? You know, can you stay in a situation that you shouldn't be in? It's not good for you, that you're unhappy in. Should you do that simply because you made a commitment, you took some vows or something like that? And so I figured, you know, I can answer that question. We, you know, we having these conversations, and these are good conversations to have. So why not? Why not? And why not answer it publicly in front of all you fine people? But anyway, I'll start with this. Because we were talking a lot about vows and, you know, breaking vows or, you know, because I think that's some of what I heard through her that, you know, the reason that Will continues to be in this situation as his name is pretty much being drugged through the mud by Jade at this point is because he decided when he got married this time that he was not getting divorced and that, like, it seems like maybe he's just sticking with a commitment because that's the commitment he made. And I said, like, vows mean a lot to me. I know personally for me, when I got married, my ex-wife and I, we took traditional vows. And we had to search for those because everything these days is so progressive and everything that they had changed a lot of the verbiage in the vow. Like, I didn't even understand that there was all these different versions of the vows. And the version that I am accustomed to was, like, not even on the menu. Like, we had to go find those vows. Like, and most of the stuff we looked at, they had changed I do to I will. And, yeah, for whatever reason, I will sounds like a when I get around to it, if I feel like it type answer to me. Like, if somebody asks you, do you swear to do something, to me, the only appropriate answer is I do. But we had to go search for those vows that had the for sickness in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, for better or worse, till death do us part. Like, we had to go search for those. Like, people don't, that didn't seem to be a common thing when I was getting married. And that was only, you know, I don't know, like 10 years ago, maybe. Damn, I'm getting old. But yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't a common thing. And that was weird to me. But I think those vows are important. I said those words in front of, you know, God and my family. And I feel like in the moment I meant them. I don't know how well I actually adhered to it. You know, I think some of the actions that I took during my marriage could easily be, you know, looked at as me not loving and cherishing. And I think a lot of times we look at those marriage vows, we're only really thinking about, like, infidelity. Like, you break the vow by stepping outside the marriage. But you vowed to love and cherish, you know. And there's many ways that you can fall short of loving and cherishing a person. And maybe if you do that on a continuous basis, that's breaking the vow, you know. And then once one person breaks the vow, you know, maybe the whole thing is fucked up or foobarred, whatever. But I don't know. At the end of the day, the thing is that they're just words, and they only mean what you put into them. They only mean what you meant, you know, when you said them. Like, I know some people look at words a little differently, and like, certain words to them, whether you understand the meaning of it or not, or whether you intend to use it in a certain way, to some people, those words carry a weight anyway. And to me, that sounds like, you know, like, I don't believe in magic. Like, you know, abracadabra or something, you know, is going to make something happen. I don't believe the sound of a word just does something. You know, I think you have to have meaning and intention and thought you know, and purpose and, you know, all of that behind the word. So, you know, these vows have to mean something. And I think for people entering into these type of commitments, you need to be honest with yourself about what you mean when you say those words. And you should have some understanding of the person that's, you know, making that vow with you to be able to reasonably believe, you know, that they mean those words when they say it. And that's the other thing for me, is like, knowing who you're marrying or knowing who you're entering a commitment with. I think that's a big part of what's missing or what makes commitments not, you know, seem attractive to people these days, is that we see so many of them fall apart because I really don't think people are taking, I don't want to use the word time because that does not apply to my situation. Like, you know, the way I feel about her and the way she feels about me and the conversations that we have and the things that we, the plans that we have for the future, don't match in most people's minds the time frame that we've known each other and the fact that we like not met really, you know, face to face yet, makes that sound even crazier. But I do feel like I know her. I do feel like, you know, we've spent time getting to know her, and we're having these kind of conversations. We're having conversations about what commitment means to you, what vows mean to you, what marriage means to you. You know, can you stay? Are you supposed to stay in a situation that may change or may devolve into something you didn't expect it to be just because you made that commitment? We're having these conversations now, and I think that's an important part of it. You got to know who it is you're marrying. You got to know who it is you're committing to, or who you're entering into these bonds with. And that takes, you know, that takes conversation. That takes intention. You have to want to get to know somebody. You have to want to figure these things out. Sort of like, you know, what I was saying, you know, to Elise over the weekend, like I think she kind of feels like she's just innately good at most things. And so for some reason in her mind, you know, she keeps showing up. So she should just magically be better because she wants to be. I don't think that's how relationships work. I think some people think like whatever state we're in, at some point when I propose and when we walk out of that church, things are going to be different. It's like, no, if you haven't actually, if you are not practicing for that, if you're not engaging in the kind of relationship that the marriage is going to be a continuation of, you know, it's not going to magically change. It's not going to magically turn into something after you say some words. Like, that's what I mean. Like, to me, you don't say some words and it's like you know, a spell gets cast and then things turn into something different. Like, those words are almost the end of a, you know, not even the end. That's a bad choice of words. But those, they're the period at the end of a sentence. Like, you've already done all of this stuff. You've already built something. And now you're saying, all right, here we go. We're making it official. Boom. Let's move. But there's no, like, so you have to know what you're getting into. You have to know what you're getting into and who you're getting into it with. You know, people change over time. I know kids definitely change relationships, you know. But you know enough about the foundation of a person that there should be a place to reconnect to, or there should be, you know, a similar frame of reference when you come into these difficult conversations or difficult situations. You get as much information as you can before you make a move like that, because, you know, that's what a commitment is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a forever thing. It should be hard to get into and just as hard to get out of. It doesn't seem like that these days. But yeah, again, I'm getting to know the person and having these kind of conversations. And, you know, one of the many, many things I love about my new relationship, and see, I said many twice, so I hope that makes up for the whole major obstacles thing. I just want to, inside joke, you don't get it, but the person I'm talking to does. One of the many, many things I love about this new relationship is I think the distance gives us the time to have these conversations and get to know each other this way without the influence of sex. I think we live in this world where everything is like physical. And I think even when I was telling people, when I was starting to use the L word, talking about being in love, it was like, oh, you in love and y'all ain't even fucked yet? And it's like, come on, son. Like, I mean, I don't know. To me, that that event doesn't have to precede the emotion. And I think once you get there with the physical stuff, full disclosure, I've agreed and probably promised a lot of shit because, like any male, I'm not about to talk my way out of some head or something like that. That's not what's going to happen. If I see we headed in a certain direction and all I got to do is say, yes, babe, whatever, to keep us moving in that direction, I'm going to keep moving in that direction. And we're going to figure out how we're going to work whatever promise I made up, you know, later. And that's just, it is what it is. So I think once you introduce that influence, conversations will go differently. You're going to say whatever is necessary to not fuck up the moment, or to keep the peace, or keep things good, keep her looking at you the same way because you try smash again. Like, and say, I mean, this where we are right now, I've had this conversation, or I've made this, you know, little soapbox speech a million times, but I just really encourage people to look at where we are right now, men and women, especially, you know, men and women of color, how we talk about each other publicly, the arguments and stuff that we have, and ask yourself, is this free love shit really working for anybody? Is this really benefiting us as a group at all? This whole just like, you know, saying chasing sex, you know, all that. Is it really working? And everybody fucking everybody, and it's all good, and you can do what you want. It's your, I get it. Freedom is a beautiful thing. But what people tend to forget is that freedom does not equal lack of consequences. And I think we're seeing the consequences. You are free to do whatever you want to if you can deal with the consequences. But can we really deal with the consequences? But I love this situation because this gives me the opportunity and the space to have these conversations, figure these things out without that influence in my thought process or my answers or what I'm doing. And then when that comes, it's icing on the cake. It's a beautiful thing. But I don't know. But yeah, to answer the question, I do think you can absolutely stay in a situation longer than you're supposed to, or way past its benefit to you, or way past its healthiness to you, you know, simply because you committed. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. You know, my wife, I think there's an argument to be made that I broke the vows by not, you know, demonstrating that I loved and cherished my wife, my ex-wife. And I think, you know, there's an argument to be made that in sickness and in health, you know, maybe I was just sick and that, you know, she broke the vow. But either way, I agree with her decision. She did what she needed to do for herself and her child. And she did not stay in a situation that was unhealthy for her simply because she said some words in front of some people. At the same time, I think if you're very careful, I mean, I think that was an extreme situation. You know, what I put her through and what I did was very extreme. And I don't think... But some of the things I mentioned, I didn't become a brand new person. You know, the path that I was on when we said those vows, it got worse. You know, but I was definitely on that path when we made that move. And so, you know, knowing the person, you know, that you're having to get into a commitment, knowing, you know, their mindset and what they could possibly mean when they say those words, knowing what you mean when you say those words, and having these kind of conversations, not expecting things to magically change because you slide a ring on your finger, or, you know, because you sign a piece of paper. Like, it don't work that way. You got to practice during the week. You got to practice at home. You got to think about it. You got to prepare for the game before Saturday. You don't just show up and you Lionel Messi because you want to be, because you have all the intention in the world of being a great soccer player or great, what's the word I'm looking for? A great partner in a commitment. There's more to it than that. But yeah, you can absolutely stay too long. And I don't know if that's what Will is doing. None of us really knows what's going on over there. We know it don't look good, and it really seems like we need to organize a rescue squad or SEAL Team 6 or something to go check on a homie. But who knows, you know, other than the two of them, what's really going on in that relationship. And then I also think, you know, he's a very disciplined person, and maybe he does feel like he got to see this through. It's hard for me to believe that, like I said, that, you know, he found himself in this predicament out of the blue. I feel like, you know, he knows who he married, and maybe he knew he signed up for all of this, and, you know, here it is. But, you know, who knows? Who really knows? What I do know is that if you made it this far, you're the real MVP, and I do appreciate you. I hope you get a chance to check out my merch store, whatistws.com/store. Get you some hoodies. I got beanies, long sleeve shirts, whatever. There's some swimwear in there if you're trying to get ahead of the game for next summer. But yeah, check out the merch store, whatistws.com/store. Be on the lookout for Opulence Radio. We are making a comeback November 1st. The Kiss the Sky Hour is returning. I think it's going to be 2 hours this time around. I'm still doing All on the Table, the Hoppy. Lord, gee, was that a Freudian slip? Anyway, I'm still doing All on the Table, the Happy Hour with Raw Sass and Easy the General. That's also going to be extended to 2 hours. Schedule is coming soon, so I'll let you know times and days for those shows. But yeah, it's going to be super dope. I think we're about to turn this into something. So yeah, opulenceradio.com. Or go find the app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Be ready. I think the morning show is already kicking off already. So if you want to just tune in every morning and catch Raw Sass and Savagely Humble doing their morning show, you might catch yours truly making an appearance from time to time. But that's already kicked off, so y'all can jump in and see what's going on with that. But other than that, I appreciate you for rocking out with me. Until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, yeah, we really need to go save homie, because it ain't looking too good for him. But I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.